Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you in church today. Everybody remember to change their clocks? Excellent. Maybe just one thing to say. You'll have noticed that there are flowers on the communion table. These were given to us by the Fotheringham family rather than them, because they're there for 5 minutes at the crematorium and then gone. And they asked if we would put them in the church. And I thought on this occasion it was very appropriate, with Douglas having been our session clerk and an elder and a gardener and so that's there to remember. And I've been told that the box that's sitting on the donation box is not to put money in, it's that we dedicate the money that was given, because Douglas decided, or the family decided, that the collection at his funeral should come to the church here. So that's all just great. Maybe since I'm talking, I should just continue to talk, should I? One other announcement is that some of us will remember Jean Fowler from Crossford. Jean died while I was away on holiday. She's been in care for quite a while. She's not been in church since a wee bit before lockdown. But she came with her husband, used to sit here. So they're going to have a private family funeral, a remembrance of Jean. But she is on our roll and one of our members, so I thought it was right that I let you know. And for Crossford folk, when you come up the wagon road, if you go straight across at the traffic lights, they lived right up at the top of the hill, almost facing the road there. Marion, have I said enough?
Yeah. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Unfortunately, we have no Zoom presentation today due to holidays. No? You have? Right. So welcome to anybody that's on Zoom. The Eternity Discussion Group meets for the final time for now on our current topic this Tuesday, 31st of October, at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room. We've been looking at the Old Testament books of Jonah, Joel and Amos. Contact Derek for information. Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. We will dedicate all our donations to the appeal this morning. If there are any last minute items, please speak to Elaine Morris.
Do you want to do the wee note, since it's about Blythewood?
Okay. As an addendum to that, it's the 30th anniversary of the Shoebox Appeal. Since the first one in 1993, they've sent more than 2.5 million boxes, each one different, each one personal, each one an expression of your care and kindness towards a stranger in need. Distributed in schools, hospitals, orphanages and care homes, and to households in very low-income communities. This year, they're going to be sent to Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Kosovo, Moldova, Romania, Serbia, and Ukraine. Christmas Craft Fair. Our Christmas Craft Fair will take place next Saturday on the 4th of November. There will be lots of stalls in church offering products from local crafters. Teas and coffees will be served in the manse. In preparation for the fair, donations of craft and or Christmas items for the church stall will be welcome. Contact Dot Downey on 881379. And while we're speaking about the craft fair, if there are any able-bodied gentlemen who can stay behind after church service for a short time, we'd like some help moving tables. Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day is on Sunday, the 12th of November. Worship will take place at 11:30 a.m. as normal and will be followed by the Act of Remembrance at the War Memorial at around 12:30 p.m. Cairnhill Parents Council is looking for singers for the Christmas Fair, which takes place at the school on the 22nd of November from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Anyone interested? That's passed as well. Anybody's interested, speak to Irene Scott. Church newsletter, December issue. Contributions are needed for the newsletter. Please consider writing something. This can be about any church activity or anything else of interest to our readership across the parish. We aim to encourage everyone in the community to take an interest in our village church. Speak to Derek and or send contributions to derek@cairnhillchurch.org.uk. So, deadline is the 19th of November. There are further intimations in the printed sheet, and this is available on our website or via our Facebook page if you don't have a copy. Let's have a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Perhaps I should also highlight the soup lunch next Sunday. That's for our cluster, and it's being hosted by Limekilns. It'll be at 1 o'clock to allow people to come from churches like Cairnhill and others across the cluster. We had a good meeting along in, was it Salon? The hall in Salon. Yes, it was. I'm looking at, some of you were there, I'm sure. Remember we met with the congregations and we had, was it a Tully Allen? No, that was the moderator's one. The barbecue, it was a barbecue, and that was at Salon. Absolutely. See, my mind sometimes isn't right, but occasionally is. So at that point, some of the Limekilns folk said, we should be hosting something. So that is next Sunday at 1 o'clock. And I think it is on the intimation sheet. So please take a note of that. And can I say that the soup down at Limekilns is always very good. And if you need to know about it, phone Sandy Muirhead. You'll know Sandy, he's a bit, because Sandy holds the record for the number of bowls of soup at the Maundy Thursday meal. So anyway, it'll be a good time. So let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 103, Fill Your Hearts with Joy and Gladness.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate all of our offerings this morning. Almighty God, receive the gifts that we offer before you. We give of our time, talent, and money as a token of our love for you and our desire to serve you. We thank you for the monies given today. We thank you for the money donated at Douglas's funeral. And we thank you that we have that ability to offer gifts to those with less than we have. So we ask you to bless the gifts that we have given through Blytheswood. Take all of these things. Bless the people who receive gifts. Bless us in our giving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. George is leading us in prayer this morning.
Just before I start, I would like to say that the thing that I did bring back from my holiday was a cold. So it's affected my voice, so you'll have to put up with my voice this morning. Thank you. Our prayers of praise, thanks, and forgiveness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning having just sung your praises and recognizing your love, your wisdom, your might, your comfort, all so divine. God of creation, we thank you for the wonderful world you have created for us and all that it contained within it, the seasons of the year, the beauty, the wonders of nature, the hills and rolling landscapes over the vast continents of the world, the oceans of the world and all life contained within them. We especially thank you for creating and developing mankind, and thank you for our own personal, unique existence in your world. Loving God, we praise you and thank you for giving us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born and lived as we do, a unique human being. He taught us how we should live our lives, and most importantly, gave us a knowledge of your awesome loving power for all of mankind. For that, we praise and thank you. Forgiving God, we now ask your forgiveness for all the times we have not followed the teachings of Jesus, when we have not spoken words of encouragement to another person, when we have not helped another person in trouble when we should have, when we should have given comfort to another person and did not, when we should have demonstrated our love for another person and did not. Forgiving God, now in silence we bring before you our personal sins and ask you to forgive us and fill us with your love. Father, thank you for listening to us. We can now go forward today and forever with the knowledge that through your love we are forgiven. And now let us join together in saying and the saying of the Lord's Prayer as taught to us by Jesus Christ our Saviour. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us your daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen.
Hymn 549, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Thank you. To set the scene for the reading from Mark's Gospel, we need to know that Jesus has been debating with two of the main groups within Judaism at that time in Jerusalem. In many ways, this debate has its source in the question of Jesus' right to speak with authority, something that we looked at a few weeks ago. He has challenged those whose authority comes from their place within the temple priesthood, and those whose authority comes from knowledge and obedience to the law. The Pharisees and the Herodians, very strange bedfellows, since most of the time they didn't agree, had come together to ask an unanswerable question, which is both political and legal. It's all about paying taxes to Rome. There are only two answers, and both of them are wrong. If Jesus says, pay the tax, he's siding with the enemies of God's people. If Jesus says, don't pay the tax, he can be denounced as a revolutionary. The answer is to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to give to God what is God's. This is not just a clever answer to a political or legal question. It was the right answer to an impossible question. Then along come the Sadducees, and they too have a question, but this time it's about law and theology. And it is noted right at the beginning of that passage that they don't believe in the resurrection. And this is a big point of contention between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Perhaps Jesus has been sounding too much like a teacher of the law for their liking, and of course he's been talking in terms of resurrection too. In some ways, the question is as much an attack upon the Pharisees as it is to reveal that Jesus is someone without a sound understanding of theology. The answer Jesus gives reveals that it is the Sadducees that do not understand Scripture. The temple priesthood came from the party of the Sadducees. Jesus told the ruling elite in Jerusalem that they did not understand the Scriptures they venerated, and hence who God is. That's the background. And the reading that we're going to have from Mark's Gospel begins with a teacher of the law being impressed with Jesus' skill in debate. In answering a political question with a good legal point, gives a suggestion that here is someone who could very easily be one of the teachers of the law or the Pharisees. To a teacher of the law, turning a question meant to ridicule one of their key beliefs and revealing the foolishness of that question, Jesus seems to be more with the Pharisees than the Sadducees. The teacher of the law is impressed enough to ask a very important question. The intention is not particularly about what is the greatest commandment. The question is really, are you one of us? Here is that very dangerous us kind of question. Are you with us or are you not with us? The dangerous us that declares God is on our side, that our truth is God's truth. And we all know the harm that is done in the name of God who claim that God is on their side. The very real question for individuals, for peoples and nations is, are we on God's side? when Jesus calls us, chooses us, it is to belong to him, not the other way round. To belong to God, not to have God legitimate where we are. So we have a reading from the book of Psalms, in part, it's part of Psalm 119, which talks about the commandments, and then that reading about the greatest commandment and what Jesus has to say. And Rob is going to read for us.
The first reading is from the Old Testament book of Psalms 119, and it's from verses 145 to 152, and it's entitled, All Your Commands Are True. With my whole heart I cry, Answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I call to you, Save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. And the New Reading Testament, in the book of Mark, chapter 12, from verse 28 to 34, the greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
We sing now from Mission Praise. It seemed appropriate that we sing about a new commandment. So it's Mission Praise 1, A New Commandment I Give Unto You. At the moment, recommended by Marcia down at Limekilns. In fact, she gave me her copy of the book to read. I've not read the whole book yet. I'm about two-thirds of the way through, and part of that is because I'm reading it a chapter at a time, and so that I can think about it. It's, as I said to somebody at the door at Limekilns, I took a lot of rubbish to read, and in terms of novels, I can read it at the rate of about a page a minute, and it just disappears. But when it's stuff I have to think about, I often need to stop and think. The book is called The Secret Message of Jesus, Uncovering the Truth That Could Change Everything, by a man called Brian McLaren. To be honest, I had not come across Brian McLaren's books up to now. I was surprised to find that he was a well-known author. That said, it only takes a moment to step inside a Christian bookshop to realise just how many Christian books there are and how many different authors. So I began to read without any knowledge of the author or his theology. I suspect Marcia gave me the book because of a number of sermons on the subject of the kingdom of heaven. McLaren's critique of the church, both now and through history, resonated with many of the questions that a significant number of Christian people have. Does our theology and practice as a church and as individuals reflect what Jesus taught and required of his disciples? This is a question we should always ask. It is that, what would Jesus do? And what would Jesus say? I'm reading the book with care, not least because there is a seductive similarity with my own understanding of Jesus and what he asks of his disciples. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, we have a teacher of the law finding a seductive similarity between his theology and Jesus' theology. The way that this man replies to Jesus has an emphasis of recognizing that God's law is above the worship practice of the temple. There is an element in here that is not just answering Jesus, but is having a dig at the Pharisees. If you're listening carefully, the teacher of the law says to love your neighbour as yourself, more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifice. That which was at the centre of temple worship. And clearly, the way that you live for God in practice is to live out God's law. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees understood living for God less about religious ritual and more about the way that you live your life. A significant number of theologians have said that the reason that there was so much conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus is not that they were in opposition to each other, but because of the similarities. Both of them said, this is how you live for God day to day in society. How do you live for God in your daily life? What is true obedience to God? Jesus was as clear as the Pharisees that God's law stood. The difference is, the Pharisees very much looked to the letter of the law. If you do all these things, you'll be right with God. Whereas Jesus looked at the spirit of the law. What is meant to come from your heart? It is interesting to note that Jesus replies to the teacher of the law that he has answered wisely. Not completely, wisely. And he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. A subtle change has taken place here. The reading began, the story began, with a teacher of the law testing Jesus. But the conversation concludes with Jesus' assessment of his questioner. It has been turned round. Going back to the book I'm reading, I thought I should find out a bit about the author. Brian McLaren is described as an American pastor, speaker, author, and a leading figure in the emerging church movement. His theology is described as being admired and condemned in equal measure. One of the more balanced critiques of both the book I'm reading and the theology contained talks of there being great strengths and significant weaknesses. Some have condemned McLaren as a heretic, and some have embraced his theology as being a truth, a new truth. Part of human nature is often described as a kind of tribalism. We like to know where we belong. And these levels of tribalism are found in the church as much as any other part of life. From a positive perspective, it is good to belong. We want to belong. None of us like to feel that we are out of place. And when we meet people, we want to know that if we have a kind of agreement, do we belong together? From a negative perspective, tribalism can be that which excludes those who are different. Unity does not need to be a kind of uniformity. Unity in diversity very often proves to be much stronger than uniformity. The church is at its best when it recognizes its unity in Christ. The church is at its worst when theology and practice becomes a source of division and exclusion. As soon as we think our understanding superior and our practice more obedient, then we are in a dangerous place. It is good to remember that we need to be self-critical in the very best understanding of that process. The quotation from Reinhold Niebuhr that you'll see on the screen seems to pick up that idea which comes from Jesus. The significance of the law of love is precisely that it is not another law, but a law which transcends all law. The law of love transcends all other law in terms of God's law. And that is because God is love. That's one of the key messages of the New Testament, that God in his very nature is love. And of course, we recognize in Jesus the embodiment of God's love. Of course, there have to be laws for living. I sometimes express a negativity about church law, but church law is important. What is more important than any rule or regulation is Jesus' law of love. Where we love God with every part of our being, and hence love our neighbour as much as we love ourselves, we truly belong to the kingdom of heaven. As weak human beings, we can find ourselves saying, well, that's all very well, Jesus, but am I strong enough to live out that kind of love? We know what you say about love. Love of your enemy, love of the person that persecutes, loving others as much as God loves us. I doubt if there's anyone here who believes that they have enough faith to be as godly as Jesus wants us to be. The gospel truth, of course, is that if we have faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, God can do great things through us. We are not expected to be dependent upon our own strength. Jesus walks with us. The Holy Spirit gifts and strengthens us. God the Father embraces us and accepts us as his children. Yes, we are called to live by the law of love. Not by the letter of the law or rules or regulations, but the law of love. To love others as much as God loves us. As we live out the law of love, we live out the kingdom of heaven, and hence bring the kingdom of heaven into the kingdoms of earth. The significance of the law of love is precisely that it is not another law, but a law which transcends all law. Amen. Hymn 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Now our prayers for others.
Our prayers for the world and others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we would now wish to pray for the world and others. So, as we witness in horror on our televisions the deaths and destruction of the Palestine nation in the Gaza Strip, we earnestly pray that the leaders of Israel will allow humanitarian aid into the peoples of the Gaza Strip to relieve their suffering because of lack of power, food, water, and medical supply. We pray that the leaders of Israel, Palestine, and Hamas agree a pause in the conflict to allow the innocent civilian population time to escape to areas away from the continuous, relentless destruction of the major cities to prevent further loss of innocent lives. Lord, we further pray for a solution for the end to this conflict, which has existed since the formation of Israel in 1948. Father, we also pray for, along with an end to the war in Ukraine by the cessation by Putin of his dictatorial ambitions, the end to all other areas of conflict throughout the world. And comforting God, be a source of comfort to those who have lost family and friends because of conflict. We pray for all who are living in poverty throughout the world, and that the richer nations will increase their assistance to all to alleviate their suffering. Father, we are now experiencing in our nation the ongoing effects of the world's climate change with increased flooding. We pray that our government, along with the world's leaders, will continue to stop the causes of climate change. Heavenly Father, we pray for our country's governments, nationally and locally, to make decisions to assist all who are continuing to suffer from the rise in the cost of living and the long treatment waiting lists in the National Health Service. We now pray for our churches in the West of Fife. We ask for your help and inspiration to help us and inspire us to make the correct decisions to allow us to continue together to worship you and to continue in the mission to grow our church. And now, in a period of silence, we wish to bring to you our personal prayers from the heart for our family and friends. Heavenly Father, thank you for listening to our prayers, because we believe that through your divine love and intervention, they will be answered. Amen.
Our closing praise, hymn 622, We Sing a Love That Sets All People Free.
Amen.
now in the love of God to share that love with the world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.